A63. Number 4A.
We have come up to the sixth day of creation, and we must ask ourselves again, could we not have the sixth day of creation just as a starting point, namely where we would have the statement that God made man in his image and likeness? Well, it's a direct creative act from God. And so we have to ask ourselves, wouldn't it be enough just to start there? What would you feel? Why shouldn't that be at the beginning? God said, and God made heaven and earth, and therefore he made man in the image and likeness of God. Would be quite nice, I would feel. And that's usually where a patient or a student would like to start. He wants to know that he is the perfect expression of God. That is of greatest interest to him. So that's his starting point. Why not? He wouldn't know. Yeah. How could he know? Yes, Emma?
Could you say also that the creation cannot perceive the Creator? Well, isn't that what we do so often humanly? We try to create God in our own image and likeness rather than the universe.
Yes, that's true, naturally, yes. That we create our God, huh? Yes, yes. Uh-huh. But that would be a creation of God, yes? False concept. So, is it really clear that the sixth day is really the outcome of the first 5 days? Huh? Well, let's go over it quick again, what Louisa has said. That we say, all right, we start out and say a sixth day is that God created man in the image and likeness of God. What would we feel would be the image and likeness of God if we would not have mind, if we would not have the first day? A mortal, perhaps, yes. Uh-huh. Well, we would have a human concept, huh? You must take something that fits into the category of mind. Huh? Therefore, you would have a human concept of it instead of a divine mind concept. Huh? You would say, therefore, that what I consider to be man, what I consider, you see, that's the human concept, the counterfeit of mind, that is man. So we have to correct that and see, no, only mind's own conception of itself is actually seeing the image of God. Only divine mind images forth a true creation. Nothing else can. So you start with mind, mind's idea. So that would be nice. So therefore you could say, after the first day of mind, you could have the sixth day. Then you could see that man is that image of God. Couldn't we? That would be just the next step. But after the image of mind, you would say, therefore, man is the image of God. Is he the image of God at that point? Couldn't the sixth day come, therefore, after the first day? See, these are the questions I ask in the assignment. Well, you say no, but you must give the reasoning for it. Huh?
Well, you have to be identified and recognized as real or unreal. Those two steps have to come before he could recognize himself as what he truly was.
Yes, which day would that be? The third day, or what?
Day, and the third would be identity.
Uh-huh. Which would be the second day?
Reality.
Reality. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Suffering.
Yeah. So you would see that which mind conceives is the only reality. Huh? It's not just another reality beside the human concept. Huh? Because you can very well see But in talking with people, they do not make that distinction between, they have two kinds of men. They say, yes, there is a spiritual man, there is a material man. Somehow they believe that. But they are not seeing really the difference between them and not seeing that the one is the only and the real, and the other is not also something but is unreal. So in theology or religion, you will find lots of people who say, yes, I'm a material man, but there is also a spiritual aspect about me. There are two kinds of men. And there is a dualistic sense, and therefore that second day is important to distinguish man from the Adam race and say, well, the Adam race isn't that what God created, though the Bible says so. In the second record of creation, you see, says that man has been created out of the dust of the ground, so that is mind's creation. Divine mind's creation is that Adam, which is also mind's creation, mind's conception, but it is both material and spiritual. See, you have to correct that first. Yes? So that second day is absolutely necessary before one can have a perfect sense of man. Why is the third day necessary? See, that's interesting. Why is the third day necessary? Because if you have had, well, mind as an image and creates according to mind's ideas, fine. Second day, and these ideas are real, fine. What do you want more? Why do you need the third day? That must be unchangeable, Or you have a very changing creation, huh? You have a concept of man that is not of an unchanging nature, that has not an unchanging identity, yes? But then I think you could say, well, that's what the Bible record says. Yeah, and then you have man in the image and likeness of God. So why should there be a fourth day to have man? Why should there be a fourth day? Huh? See, you have to reason out these things. Huh? Or you will always have a wrong sense of man, or an incomplete sense of man.
So they have a principle behind them. Is it an isolated idea?
It's not an isolated idea. Huh? If it would be an isolated idea, it would become, say, a God person, a personality, a reflection of that God who is just again a god or a goddess, according to what he is or she is. Yes? One must see that that idea is not something that stands by itself, but is, so to say, bound to a principle, always bound to a principle. Can never, so to say, operate in an orbit of its own. But he always operates in principle's own orbit. He can't do what he wants, you see. Therefore, free will is taken away there. Man has not a free will. The divine man has no free will. He is very obedient to the principle. His principle governed, and therefore he can't do anything, can't do things what he wants. Has no free will. This is the great question that you have in the whole discussion of mankind, that we say, what really characterizes man in distinction to animals is that man has a free will. Well, he hasn't. The mortal has a free will, but not man. He's governed by a principle. The moment he goes out of that government, he just experiences discord. That's all. So he has no free will. He's bound to its principle, yes? And what must he have? Why should there be a fifth day before we really can have man? Yes? What would you say?
Life itself.
Yes. So you would see that whole concept that you have built up through 1, 2, 3, and 4 would be actually a philosophy, if there would not be that living sense to give up the wrong concept. That we are not giving up the wrong concept. God always has the right concept. But the question at the point of 4 or 5, at the first day, is, are we willing to give up the wrong concept and to lay down the mortal concept? And only as we do that, we free ourselves really from any limitation, and then really thought opens for the 6th day. And only then you begin to be the image and likeness of God, which has dominion. Before that, we wouldn't have dominion. How could we have dominion without having on the 4th day a principle behind us? See, without being willing in the 5th day to leave behind the old landmarks, to give up the human concept, how could we have dominion over the human concept if we would stay in the human concept and hang on to the human concept? There would be no possibility to have real dominion. So you come to the 6th day of man having dominion. And we can see, therefore, how important it is to see the development so that we are not trying to make these shortcuts as we like to do, that we think, let's start out right from perfection. Man is the image and likeness of God. And then, if we are honest, we must say, that image and likeness of God which we have is actually not God's image and likeness. It's our wrong, limited human conception of man. So here we have a very clear illustration how we can always clarify a concept like man by seeing where does man appear in the order of being, in its genesis. As Mrs. Eddy said, in its genesis, we have an ascending thought up to man, and therefore we can see man is not the beginning of everything. Why should there be a 7th day? What is the symbol, the biblical symbol of the 7th day? Rest, yes. Is it rest? Yes. What else? Completeness, perfection, fulfillment. Yes. This is already the metaphysical interpretation of the biblical symbol. The Bible just says that on the 7th day God completed his work and he rested from his work. And that gives us the metaphysical idea of completion, perfection, which leads to a sense of rest and peace. Therefore, we can rightly ask, is the 7th day of creation a day of creation?
No, it isn't.
It isn't, actually. Huh? There's actually no more creative activity going on. So the 7th day apparently must be quite an interesting day, that it is an integral part of the sevenfold development of the law of creativity, and yet it is not a creative act. What is it? So then, if it's not a creative act, what then does the 7th day mean? A state of being, yes. Standing on the other 6, yes. And doing what? Yeah. What is, therefore, our consciousness on the 7th day? If we do not have a... Yeah?
Perfection.
Perfection, yeah. But what is perfection? Of which those facts... Yes. Yeah. It's just that. You see, actually, the 7th day, you see, is actually a new step, but not a creative step. It's a new step, namely that you accept the fullness of the first 6 days, huh? That you don't reject it, that you accept them and say, they are, as you said, they are my basis, huh? So the seventh day is a step forward. It's higher than the sixth day. But that higher is not a creative step, but is an accepting step. So you can say, all right, it's a step more, which indicates a further step, but that further step is saying that which I have experienced and which I could see going running around from the first to the sixth day is a state of consciousness which now I have to accept as my own, huh? As what is. That's why you have felt it is a state of being, but a state of being of what? Huh? Of taking in all the sixth day. Then you only have the seventh day. So again, you can say the mystic will start with the seventh day. He will just sit down and try to be quiet and at peace within himself and just know that nothing is going on but God and his idea and accept the perfection of being. The mystics will start at the seventh day. Now, the question is his seventh day really a day that has a real content? Or is it just a belief state? Huh? See? It's therefore only quieting down really the human mind and says to the human mind, just shut up, shut up, and shut it up, and shut up. See, that's what meditation does. It just tries that all what talks within oneself in regard to the human mind, the human suggestion, just shut it up and says, well, that doesn't belong to the infinite. So it leaves him in an empty state. That's why they call really that seventh stage the emptiness, the nothingness. See, that's the highest state that they can arrive at. That's the nirvana, the nothingness, the emptiness. But what they mean is something right. It's the emptiness from human conceptions. So in a way, they are right. You see, it's a state where the human conceptions are no more taken into consideration. You don't look at them, you don't think about them, you don't listen to them. But it is an empty state. Whereas if we take in the first 6 days of creation, then the seventh day of creation is a full stage, is a consciousness of the fullness of creation at rest. There are no more human conceptions that are entertained there because we have cleared them out. That's the days of creation, to clear out human conception and to get a clear divine conception and then rest there, accept that and rest there. So the seventh day for the Christian scientist is also a day of rest, but of a somethingness of the whole reality. Yes? So that shows us again that we cannot start with the seventh day. See, at this point in our development. Now, at the point of development, the temptation is always that the student of Christian Science says, I go out from perfection. Well, that's all right. See, we shouldn't go out from imperfection. We really should go out from perfection. The question is, do you know what is the content of perfection? Or is your perfection just an empty shell? That's the question. Yes. Well, you look very unhappy, huh? Yeah. Yes. So we find here that the days of creation are really a creative sense that build up our true concept of being until every doubt and every false reasoning and every false concept is cleared away, so that finally we have the perfection of being as a full, in a full sense, really knowing what is the content of it. Yes. All right. So this will be our first attempt in the law of creativity. I think the days of creation are always a good line of reasoning to which we can fall back, because it's a nice symbol that we can remember. We always can remember light, firmament, then the dry land with the seed, then the heavenly bodies, then the birds and the fishes, and then the animals and men, and then the rest. This is very easy to remember. And so it gives us always some kind of a lead. They are symbolizing, therefore, that ordered sequence of idea. See, it would now, we would have gained now, compared with syllabus 1 and 2, you can now see we have gained something completely new. Whereas up to this week, syllabus 1 and 2 would never have shown which idea must precede which each other idea. We only combined them ad libitum, at random. We knew we can do that. But now, having had the tools, now we come to a rather disciplined way of thinking, which says that under definite circumstances, ideas follow each other in a very definite way. Under a very definite circumstance here, under the circumstance that we are building up a creative process in our consciousness, then these ideas blend in a very definite way. So that we have suddenly an order of ideas, and not just a reflection of ideas. Suddenly you begin to see that we have to have first ideas, and only when we have ideas that then spirit can come and separate ideas from illusions. And only if they are separate from my illusions, that these ideas then gather identity, immortal identity. But only then, when we have the identities of being, that we can have a system, integrate them into a system. Only when we have a system that we can see that through the restructuring of the system, we have newness of life, fullness of life, multiplication. And only as we have that newness of life, we begin to see that man is all that newness of life together, that he is the compound idea, not just a single quality, but that he is all the calculations in one, is the one big infinite calculus you have for man. And then you feel that alone brings us to the seventh day, where we feel then if there is only one divine infinite calculus called man, then that calculus is always operating in full rest, and therefore there is never something happening which is out of harmony. You get the seventh day. We go to the next example, which is already much more abstract in its presentation, but still showing a sevenfold order. And we take the next one, which is the third degree of the scientific translation of mortal mind, called understanding, called spiritual, called reality. And that third degree gives us again a sevenfold order. And you know that order? You have studied for a whole year so that you know that order. It's wisdom,
spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, help.
Good. Yes. So that's the second order that, historically seen, Chondoli began to see as an order. After the days of creation, he could see that also these seven qualities constitute an order. At that time, he didn't know that it is the word order. He just saw that it is a logical sequence. And so we go and run through that logical sequence together. We start with wisdom. And after wisdom comes purity. Why shouldn't we start with a pure mind? Why shouldn't we start with purity?
Because wisdom gives us the ability to choose between the good and the bad, and the desire
for the good. So wisdom first gives you the ability to choose the right.
And
yes?
The desire.
Yes? If you wouldn't have that, you would start with something else. Yes? You couldn't have purity. You can't have purity because purity means that it is something that is not mixed up with with the opposite. That's purity. To be free from extraneous element. Be free from opposite elements. Therefore, in order to have purity, you first have again to have the wisdom to know what is ideational, what is not ideational. Yes? So again, we start out with a sense of let there be light. Here it is, let there be wisdom. And so it is again saying, let's turn first to God, to mind. Whatever we start, be wise. What it means to be wise? Go back to the ideas of mind. That's wisdom. Wisdom is not to make a decision. Wisdom means that you first find your true basis from where you reason. So it is asking to go back to mind and mind's ideas.